Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Well, good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Driven to Business. I am your host, Eddie Mayfield. By the way, we're streaming live on biz1190.com, and today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com. So check us out there. Here on Driven to Business, we like to talk about success principles. We like to talk about how to do things in business, whether it be sales or hiring or selling your product or branding your product or whatever may strike your fancy, our career enhancement if you are employed by someone else. And we like to learn from our mistakes and not repeat them. And we have a lot of guests on our program that help us do that. Today is no exception. Today, our guest is John Sturzacker. Now, it's unusual. John is actually employed by Salem Broadcasting, who owns Biz 1190 here, along with several other stations. John, welcome to the program.
It's good to be here, Eddie, on Driven to Business.
Well, thank you. I enjoy being here with you guys on 1190. Here at our company, we get a lot of feedback on the program, and it's great.
Well, Biz 1190 is a fantastic radio station. I enjoy working for this station along with a couple of other ones that we have here in Atlanta. And this particular station really focuses on a particular group of business professionals. And that's why your show fits so well with this radio station, because you're helping entrepreneurs and you celebrate entrepreneurship.
Well, thank you. John, you have a long history in radio. Tell us about that a little bit.
Well, I'm going into my 31st year of working in radio professionally, but it actually started back when I was in high school, back on cassette tapes, if our audience remembers cassette tapes. But we would go home every day and I'd put songs on the radio to play, or rather songs on the cassette tape to play into the cafeteria for an hour every day during lunch. And then that transferred over into college, where I majored in communications, and I was 4 years on the radio there at the college radio station. And then in 1983, I began my professional career in a little town in South Georgia called Homerville, which is located in between Valdosta and Waycross.
I actually know where that is.
And Homerville, while I was there, I was on the air from 6 until noon, and then from noon until 6, I was the sales manager. So that's where I began my radio career. And then 30 years later, I'm here in Atlanta working for Salem Communications and Biz 1190.
John, when I got out of the Coast Guard, I worked for 8 years in a television station in Birmingham as a tech. It was a lot of fun. I also had worked part-time at a number of AM stations there. And, you know, I think sometimes now about with all the hoopla surrounding satellite radio and Sirius XM and all that, which is an interesting thing to have in your car and to have around you. But, you know, according to all the studies, people still like broadcast radio. And as a longtime guy, you've been in broadcasting a long time. Are you surprised by that?
No, not at all, because radio is always going to be local. It's going to be live. It's going to be mobile. It's going to be personal. It's going to be social. It's going to be interactional. Okay. And as long as that continues to happen, then radio is always going to have the upper hand. In fact, right now, radio, 94% of people consume radio in a given week.
Right.
68% consume radio in a given day, which is still considerably higher than any other media that you can talk about. That be the internet, that be television, that be, you know, satellite, all those things. Radio is still the number one consumed media product in a given day and in a given week in the United States. And as long as the radio continues to be live and we continue to be local and we continue to be personal. And what do I mean by personal? That means that radio, a lot of times people will identify with a particular DJ. People enjoy listening to your program because they enjoy the way that you conduct your program, the different things that you have in, so they identify with Eddie Mayfield in Driven to Business. If you're on a morning program, if you're on a midday program, whatever it might be, people personally begin to come in contact with you and they interact with you. That's why they continue to tune into the radio station. If you're on satellite, all right, you're broadcasting to an entire world at that particular point, and it's awful difficult to be able to identify with a particular personality. So as long as we're live, local, and we're personal, radio is still always going to be the number one consumed product, and so it doesn't surprise me at all to answer your question.
You know, a lot of us growing up around the top 40 AM radio, as I grew up, we did, although I didn't know any of the announcers, really, you always felt like you did. Mm-hmm. What you just said there. You know, I worked at a station there, it was a daytime station, but it was a 50,000-watt station there in Birmingham. And I did the sign-on for them on Sunday morning as a tech, not not on air, except not usually on air. I would occasionally, the person, the announcer, didn't show up for some reason. I found myself on air, but that wasn't planned. But the on Sunday morning, it was the most fun thing. I remember this. I would go in. This was a big transmitter that the guy that owned the station actually had built himself a long time ago with the antenna. It's the typical thing, you know, you have the station here, mm-hmm. the antenna's next to it. And I'd get there early and fire up the antenna. We were a daytime station. You had to wait till sunrise. You'd get it on the air. And I would flip it up. And early in the morning, we used to have an African-American quartet that showed up there. And I would leave the station doors open. They would come in and get around a big old microphone. And what they would do, I'd get the station on. Then I would go in there and play a little sign-on 8-track, basically, back what it looked like back in those days. And then these guys would just start singing. That was the program. I have such great memories of that because they were awesome singers. And they would just sit there and you'd roll in these low bass harmonies. And it was a lot of fun listening to that. It's very nostalgic for me as a young man being able to do that. You always felt like when you're working in radio, even just sitting back at the transmitter, you were part of something bigger than yourself. And I think that attracts a lot of people to the business.
Yeah, it really does. And, you know, a lot of times in radio, this is one of the lessons that I've learned. We're very fortunate when we work in radio and that we get to meet a lot of different people that come through the station, whether they be stars for interviews or they might be athletes or something along those lines.
Right.
But to the average listener, they don't have that opportunity to be able to meet people like that every
right.
day. And so the lesson I had to learn was something that wasn't that big a deal to me really is a big deal to our listening audience. And so you have to always kind of keep that in mind as you begin to move forward, because radio really is bigger. I mean, it's this big thing. They're bringing you they're bringing you popular people. They're bringing you sports stars and all these other kind of things. And most people don't get the opportunity to experience that on a day-to-day basis.
You know, even working in a television station, I worked oftentimes late there at night, and I was always shocked. If we had I'm talking 2 in the morning, and you're wondering who on earth is watching television at 2 in the morning.
So they're watching.
I know, but the moment something would screw up, you know, like something just goes wrong, as it does occasionally, you know, the phone would start ringing, and I was always, who on earth is up watching this at 2 in the morning?
Well, a funny story to kind of segue off from what you were just talking about. Back in my career as well, too, I spent 15 years doing play-by-play for high school football, baseball, basketball, wrestling.
Wow.
No matter what it was, we were able to do sports broadcasting. And I would be on the air. I remember I was doing a basketball game actually out in the Cobb County area, and I was pronouncing this young man's name incorrectly on the air. And his grandmother called the radio station and said, you need to tell Mr. Sturziker that he is pronouncing my grandson's name incorrectly, and the way that you pronounce his name is this way. Please get word to him and let him know he's doing it incorrectly. And so word did get transferred back to me, and I made the correction. So you're right. You know, you wonder who's listening, but as soon as you make a mistake, believe me, they let you know.
John, let's talk a moment. You have a lot to do with sales and marketing and selling radio time and radio programs and so forth. You know, we live in an interesting time, I think, for those of us in business, where the opportunities and the channels for marketing your product or service have really never been greater. In fact, it's almost overwhelming if you include the internet and email and all that stuff in there, along with radio, sometimes television, and you know, then television these days on a cable. You know, anybody that has a cable channel has 100-plus channels. It's like, how in the world does an advertiser deal with this? Particularly, and I know a large advertiser, perhaps a national advertiser, can hire somebody big to take care of that. But like your local business trying to advertise, how does he decide what in the world to do?
Well, the first thing that I would do, and when I go out and one of the things that we do here at our group of stations is we're consultant sellers, which means we really try to go in and really consult with somebody
right.
to find out exactly what their needs are and where they need to go. But the biggest mistake that a lot of people make, and the first thing they need to understand, is what is your demographic? Who is it that you're trying to reach? Are you trying to reach women? Are you trying to reach men? Are you trying to reach women and men? Are you trying to reach young people? Whatever it is, you need to understand your demographic and the age of that demographic. A lot of times people won't really understand that. And let's say they're trying to reach women 25 to 54 years of age. But then they end up saying it's a male that owns this particular business. His favorite radio station might be a sports-oriented type
right,
radio station.
Right.
And so, you know, he says, what? I'm going to advertise on the sports station. Well, the sports station doesn't have women listening to it, or at least that's not the largest percentage of the audience. So they really need to be focusing on who is their audience, number one, and then making sure that advertising medium, whether it be radio, television, the internet, wherever it is reaching that is reaching the group of people that they're trying to reach. You could have a great message, but you could be on the wrong place and you won't get any response at all. So the first thing is to understand who your audience is.
You know, that's true, John, on every level, even on an individual sales level. If you're talking and giving your best consultative sales effort to someone who has no authority whatsoever, mm-hmm. which all of us have done that, well, then it's a waste of time.
Exactly.
You're in front of the wrong guy.
Yeah, you need to be sure you get to the right guy and be sure that you're doing it. And then as a business, the second thing you need to do is you don't want to take a shotgun approach. A lot of times people will see different types of people will come to see them. They say, I'll do a little bit of this, and I'll do a little bit of that, and I'll do a little bit of this. And it's a shotgun approach, and nothing's successful. You're better to take all of your dollars and put it, if you have small dollars, and put them in the one medium
right.
and own that medium, okay, and make that work for you, and then you're going to do much better that way.
You know, I've told in my marketing consulting with our own company and when I worked with the other company, was it, you know, for instance, even if you take it out of broadcast and put it in print advertising, if you can only afford to buy one page in a magazine, you should just save your money.
Exactly.
And do it once. You're just wasting your time. Mm-hmm. And I think it is the repetitive, and every one of us are that way. None of us really absorb things the first time. And you're right. You'd be better off. I absolutely would advise anyone who's going to advertise on radio to buy as many of the ads as concentrated as you can and saturate the message and get it. And get it out there. And I really do think that on every level of marketing and sales, that absolutely is the way that it's done. By the way, do you enjoy sales? Do you have a good time with that?
Yeah, I love doing sales. I personally love interacting with people. And
right.
My greatest thrill is when we see a business come on and they grow because of the marketing and advertising that I've helped them do and helped them consult along the way.
Right. I'm with you. Well, I enjoy that, too, and I do enjoy just the interaction and plus the fact that you have helped someone. John, we're going to continue talking about this. I appreciate so much you being on the program today. And not only talk about this, but also talk about some other things you're involved in that don't really have anything directly to do with sales, but I think people will find very interesting. You've had some success in it. Sorry, I'm out of breath. You are listening to Driven to Business. I'm your host, Eddie Mayfield. We're here every Saturday morning on WAFS Biz 1190, and we're glad you're here. More with John in just a moment. Stick around. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm your host, Eddie Mayfield. We are glad you're here, and I hope you're enjoying today's program. Our guest today is John Sturzaker. John is in the broadcast business, has a good sales background, sales production background. But John, you also have another life, and you are the director of an organization called God's Mighty Voice. Now tell us about that.
Well, God's Mighty Voice is an organization that speaks truth to unreached people worldwide. And what that basically means is that through radio, we speak the good news of Jesus Christ to people worldwide. And this is taking place right now through in Mali and Burkina Faso primarily, which is in West Africa. And I've been there four different times, and we can talk a little bit more about however you'd like and how we got into that. But the cool part about this, Eddie, is that in doing what I'm doing with God's Mighty Voice, what God's allowing me to do, it's allowing me to take my passion for Christ and my passion for radio and combine the two of
right.
them to reach people for Christ. That's the really cool part about it. So,
you know, I had mentioned to you prior to going on the air that I have been to Mali and have actually spent about 10 days out in some of the small villages there, mm-hmm. sleeping on the ground and you know, these mud hut villages, it's quite a cultural shock to go somewhere like that, isn't it? I mean, it compared to what we're accustomed to. I've never seen anything like it, actually.
Yeah, one thing about West Africa in particular is that, you know, the poverty is never ending. I mean, it's
right.
everywhere. It doesn't stop. It doesn't matter if you're in the city or if you're out in the villages.
It really is overwhelming. I've never experienced it before.
It is very overwhelming. And typically in Mali, And in Burkina Faso, too, you know, the average annual income there is somewhere between $600 and $1,000 is what it is. And so can you imagine in this country trying to live annually on $600? Basically, these people, their job every day is to exist.
Right.
Their job is to get up, find water, find something to eat, find a warm place at night to put their head down. And then they go to sleep and then they get back up again in the morning and they find water, they find food, and they need to find a place to sleep. And occasionally they might have a watermelon or they might have something that they can sell alongside the road to make a little bit of money. But their chief job every day is literally life, is to exist.
John, the organization that I'm affiliated with is an organization called Mission 1014, which is directed by a gentleman named Jerry Councilman. And we also have radio programs going into the villages. By the way, on the eating, you know, one of the things that we have done there is help these villages dig wells, mm-hmm. not only for drinking water, but to irrigate gardens, because it allows them then to have, food during the year grown locally. And also not only to grow it to eat, but actually grow a surplus they can then walk to a larger village and sell. You know, one of the things that sticks in my mind, that I know this goes directly to what you do over there, is you go into these villages, which are, you know, baked mud brick buildings with dirt floors in there and, you know, no electricity, no anything. And yet hanging in the middle of the village will be a wooden post of some sort. And hanging off of that is a battery-powered radio. And a number of people after the workday are gathered around listening to that radio. And that's where you come in, isn't it?
It's exactly right. You know, one of the things that in the United States, we don't realize how good we have it. All, you know, the majority of the United States, we have access to television, we have access to the internet, and we have access to the radio and other forms of media as well, too. Well, over in these third world countries, and we're talking in particular right now about Mali, those things exist, but not everybody has. The majority of people do not have access to television and the internet. But they do have access to a radio. And why is radio so important to people in Mali and Burkina Faso? Because that's how they get their news. Only 20% of the population of Mali is actually literate.
Right.
That means 80% is illiterate.
Right.
Also, because of the culture, the African culture being tribal in its nature, most of their traditions and things are handed down orally.
Right.
So radio is an oral medium. It's an audio medium. And so that's why it's so important and why radio can be such an effective tool in reaching people for Christ, because they do stand around and they listen to radio. One of the things that the radio stations that we're involved with down there, we come alongside missionaries that are already in place.
Right.
And usually there's a radio station that's there. If not, we'll help them build one. And we help them operate more effectively and more efficiently. So there is a large portion of the broadcast day that does broadcast Christian programming. But then there's also a portion of the broadcast day that kind of touches on what you talked about with the wells that people are digging to help irrigate their crops and things along those lines, is that we do health programming so that people can know how to live a healthier life. HIV/AIDS, as you well know, is a big deal down in that part of the world.
Yes.
There are other things. Dysentery is very, very, you know, a very prevalent down there. Malaria and other things as well, too. So we run radio programs that help them live a healthier life. Then we'll also run some programs that will allow them to be more efficient in what they do for a business, like agriculturally. Some of them might be cotton farmers. Some of them might be millet farmers. Some of them might be sorghum. Whatever it happens to be, we run radio programs that help them operate more efficiently that way. That's why you can have Christian radio in these areas, because the predominant religion in these countries is not Christianity.
No,
and so you can get permission from the tribal leaders and the village chiefs to be able to do these different things, because you're running some of these other programs that are important to the health and lifestyle of their different village people that are in there at that time.
You know, and you have been there, I know. So you, and again, this was something new to me after traveling all day long over what could only by the most optimistic term for road be called a road. It's more like a goat path or something, mm-hmm. and you're just bumping along this thing and in the middle of nowhere. And you come up in this village who did not know you were coming, because they don't have telephones or anything of that sort. And so you just show up out there. They all gather around, and they're glad to see you. And in their culture, they sort of welcome you, and they take it on themselves like to provide a meal, which, of course, what we would do is buy some chickens or something from them to, you know, it's a bit of a cultural game you play to not offend people back and
exactly.
forth in these things.
Mm-hmm.
But and then sitting at night around some big tree, talking to them, it's like stepping back centuries. And I sort of think this must have been a little bit of what it was like when the disciples went from village to village and just sat down and started talking to the people in the village. It's an and like you said, they have nothing else to do. There's no television. There's nothing else going on.
Well, relationship building is so important in third world countries, right, especially if you're a Westerner coming in. You have to build relationships. And they like to sit down. In fact, when you go, and you probably experience this, when we go into a village, the first thing, you know, as Americans, we're ready. I have a job to do here. In our case, we're going to come right in and we're going to restore this radio station. So let me get to it. Let me get it done. Well, that doesn't happen there. You've got to go in, you sit down, you meet with the chief. Then they usually bring you a little something to drink or something like that to eat. And you sit and you might talk for 45 minutes to an hour. And then the chief will say, OK, go do your work. And you go do your work. And before you leave, you got to come back again and sit down with the chief. Right. And usually at that time, they provide some sort of a meal for you. And you kind of go through that whole process. And then you have to ask for the road, which means you have to ask to leave. And the chief might say, you know what? I'm not ready to let you go yet. I want to sit and talk a little bit more. And again, culturally, you don't need to just get up and leave. You say, I got someplace I got to be at 6 o'clock. Well, that doesn't work over there. You need to understand the importance of building relationships. And I think we miss that in this country. We miss the importance of building relationships with one another because we're so busy. I got to get here. I got to get there. I got to go make another dollar. I got to go to this, you know, committee meeting, whatever it happens to be.
There is an almost, in a way, despite their poverty and despite their lack of what, you know, running water and toilets, for instance, there is an appeal of sorts, and I think it is a relationship, and I found it almost refreshing in a way.
Yeah, it's the relationship part of it, and you know what? They're comfortable where they're at. Even though they don't have all of these modern things that we're used to, they're comfortable where they're at, and I think in Christ, we all need to be comfortable where Christ has us at that time. Some of it is they don't know any better, but some of it is they're okay with their little mud hut and what it is that they're doing. And that's so relaxing to me and refreshing to me when I'm there. They just love the Lord and they love relationship building.
I thought, you know, one little girl that showed me around a village there, and she was trying to teach me words and having no luck at it. And at the end, she told me through an interpreter that if I would stay there, she would teach me to fish and she would bring me a chicken every day. It was one of the nicest offers I've ever had, actually. But we did have a good time. You are listening to Driven to Business. We're talking with John Sturziker about an organization he helps called God's Mighty Voice, which does radio into West Africa. We'll be back in a moment. Hang around.
He was brutally handsome. She was terminally pretty. She held him up and he held her.
Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm your host, Eddie Mayfield. Again, we're glad you're here. I hope you're enjoying today's program with John Sturziker. John, before we stop talking about Molly, just a moment, tell us a little bit about, just for business people, a little bit about the difference in doing business over there and their view of business and our view of business.
Well, one of the things that they struggle with the radio stations over there is being self-supporting. A lot of times the church, you know, supports them in one way or another financially, and they want to be independent of the church so that the church is not, you know, constantly having to give them money to be able to continue broadcasting. And so I sat down with them and I said, okay, tell me what it is that you're doing to, you know, to raise awareness of your radio station, and what are you doing to market what it is that you're, you know, that the radio station here. And they say, well, you know, we want to try to make money. And so we got a little bit of property over here on the side of the building. And so we thought about making, you know, buying a couple of hogs and selling pigs. And then they had some other ideas similar to that. And I said, well, let me help you understand a little bit here. You have people that are listening to the radio and you have ears. And what does ears mean? It means, you know, the more ears you have, the better it is. And people need things that are listening to the radio station. So you need to be going into the marketplace and you need to be talking to people who are in the market and see if they'd be willing to advertise on the radio. Okay. So then I said to them, they said, well, no, we don't really want to do that. I said, well, why can't you do it that way? They said, well, an advertiser comes on the radio station or a business, then everybody thinks they have lots of money. And then everybody comes to them wanting money. And so I said, okay, there's got to be a way to work around that. You know, how can we figure out that you can get a business to support your radio station and then not be bothered for money all the time? And so through time, I've learned how to do it. And again, it's a relationship building kind of thing. And a lot of times they think, well, you're in my village, so it should be free to me. So again, you have to kind of overcome the expectation. A lot of times in African countries, they call it shaking the mango trees. And so they'll shake the mango trees to see how much they can get for free until you finally tell them you got to pay for it. And so there are lots of different ways that you can do it.
There are Americans like that, too.
There are. You're exactly right. But doing business there is really challenging. And, you know, you have to lower your expectations and you have to lower your level of things. And so we're teaching them actually the whole sales process. You know, what does it mean? You know, it's a sale. You know, there's if you sell a $10 spot, you can give the salesperson a 10%, you know, give them 10% on that and they can take a dollar home. Well, a dollar to you and me doesn't sound like a whole lot, but to them, that buys an awful lot of food over there. Right, you know, it buys some grain, it buys some millet, some of these other things that they can sustain themselves on. But the whole idea of a percentage of something going to them, totally new concept to them. You know, just never really thought about that. So it's really a learning process doing business, especially in a third world country. It's something, you know, if it's in Europe or one of those more modernized countries, you know, it's much different. But when you get into the third world country, this really have no concept of the typical business like you and I are used to doing.
It does make you, though, go back and think about basics, doesn't it?
It really does.
Exactly how and why does this work the way that it does work? You have a long background in radio. You know, back when I was around as a teenager, listen, AM radio was a thing. FM stations were really elevator music. They weren't that many around, but those that were there. But then a great shift happened when people began putting FM radio, FM stereo, and high fidelity sound in their car. They realized music sounds a little better on FM, and AM went into a period of decline for a while, but it has made a resurgence. Now, you saw all that. Tell us about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know, AM radio was really the only thing. I mean, that's what it was licensed back in the day, was AM radio were the first stations that were licensed. And then this new thing, as you just mentioned, FM radio came into being, and it did have a higher fidelity. It sounded better on your car radio. So music basically moved over to the FM dial.
Right.
And then AM dial basically, after a little bit of a decline, when they were trying to compete with FM on music, which they couldn't do.
Right.
It was just it just doesn't sound as good. That's just the bottom line. They also did some things. They tried an experiment with AM stereo.
I remember that.
And that really never took off because the car manufacturers never put AM stereos in cars.
Right.
And so that didn't work out. But what AM radio finally figured out was that talk sounds fine on AM radio. And so AM radio became the home of really talk radio.
Right.
And so you figured out different ways, you know, programs like what you're doing. Also, you know, there's local sports, you know, sports nowadays usually ends up on the AM dial.
Right.
There are lots of different ways that you can use the AM dial to your benefit. It's just a matter you got to be a little bit more creative in making it happen. But AM radio, I mean, typically some of your biggest billing radio stations are AM stations. I mean, your AM radio, the largest amount of wattage that you can have in being an AM radio station is 50,000 watts.
Right.
And a 50,000 watt clear channel station are usually your three call letter stations around the country.
Right.
50,000 watt stations were licensed from the FCC. They were the first ones licensed. And they were licensed to 50,000 clear channel, which means that they don't power up or power down at sunrise or sunset.
Or go directional.
Or go directional. And so they did that initially so that they could, if in the need that there was a national emergency, they could make one broadcast on all of these three call letter, clear channel, 50,000 watt radio stations, and they could cover the entire country. And so that's where the value of AM radio is. And you still find that to this day. AM radio is really where you're getting your information from. Those are the ones that are breaking the news first. They're breaking the traffic purse. They're carrying all of the sports coverage. All those different things are happening on AM radio.
They are. And I still, I'm just enough of a nerd about this. I still, when we're traveling way out in the boonies somewhere, I get a kick out of if you're out in Texas picking up a station in Cincinnati and it's just kind of fun.
Well, here's an interesting story, and this actually happened this summer on this radio station, Biz 1190. There are individuals that make it a hobby of trying to pick up radio stations like you're talking about, and the radio signal can actually skip. So it can skip across the pond, but I mean the ocean.
Right.
And so I got a call from
I was a ham when I was a kid, so we used to do that on purpose.
You know exactly what you're talking about. And so I had a guy from, it was Iceland. actually send me an email and said, I picked up Biz 1190, and they'll send you an audio of what they picked up, and usually it's very staticky. And what they want is confirmation that that's your radio station and you were airing that when they say they picked it up. And so you send them a little email back, and then they post it on their wall saying, I picked up Biz 1190 in Atlanta and I'm in Iceland. And they just they do that. So AM radio is very unique in that way and how it carries, especially at nighttime.
You know, from a business perspective, you know, back when I don't know, maybe a lot of smart people did, but no one I was around, put it this way, saw the change coming back. There was a time, and you're not as old as I am, but you probably remember this. You could buy FM radio stations for very little because, again, it was elevator music. They had a hard time selling advertising, and everyone saw the future as, again, music radio was AM radio. But the few people that did see that change coming did pretty well in business. And I think there's a business lesson there about pay attention to what's going on around you, and there are always opportunities if you can see that. But it's hard to see those trends when you're in the middle. They're easy afterwards. They're kind of hard in the middle.
Well, it goes all the way back to the video chain that was so popular here. They didn't see this, this rental that was coming,
right?
And all of a sudden, they didn't want to catch up and didn't want to keep up with it. And now that particular video chain is, I believe, it's out of business, if I remember correctly. And this other one now has picked up all the business because they're doing it all online, And that one that was a storefront location refused to see what the future was,
right? You know, I have a good friend, I'm not going to name the station or his name, that is in broadcast television here in Atlanta. And he's a bit pessimistic about the future of broadcast television because television is different than radio. People are not watching television in their car.
Exactly.
As they are radio.
Mm-hmm.
And so cable is sort of, do you have any thoughts about that?
I think, again, if you go back to TV, I think as long as TV is local, and it's, they're providing some local and live coverage, which they do obviously during their newscast.
Right.
I think that's still going to play to their benefit. And as long as the big three networks are still broadcasting, those things, I believe that's going to be a benefit
as well.
That's
a big if.
Yeah, and that's right.
Because there was a time when you had to do that to get to Atlanta. You had to come through a local station, but you don't have to do that anymore.
Well, and also, you can take a look at what's going on here in the South. I mean, the SEC network is coming.
Right, exactly.
And some of these other, networks that you're going to have to pay to be able to deliver, to get the content for. And, if you're an SEC football fan and you want to see the Dogs or you want to see Alabama or Auburn, kind of pains me to say those names, but I'm going to go ahead and say them anyway. But if you want to see the Dogs, you're going to want to be a part of the SEC network.
Well, so. You might as well tell us who do you pull for.
Right? Well, I pull for the Dogs in case you didn't know.
Okay, so. All right. Well, I'm a graduate of the University of Alabama in Birmingham, but I've had children graduate from the University of Georgia, so I actually have more money spent at the University of Georgia, so I guess I'm a Dog fan.
You're a Dog fan as well.
Now,
okay.
Yes, I actually am a big SEC fan. I like the SEC.
I do too.
Period. For anything that's going on there. What are your thoughts about, there was a guy a long time ago, and we'll have to talk about this after the break, I think, but there was a guy a long time ago, John Wanamaker, that said, I know that one half of my advertising dollars are wasted. I just can't ever figure out which half. Now, as a guy that has to sell advertising to people, what's your thoughts on that?
Well, again, I think it all goes back down to what we talked about at the beginning of the program, is knowing who your audience is and being effective with your advertising dollars. In fact, most of my career, I have actually turned away a lot of money. And the reason that I've done that is I've said, you don't have enough money to effectively do this on radio.
Right.
I would suggest that you put your advertising dollars into something local, or save them up for, put 3 months together, and then let's do something in the fourth month with the 3 months that you've saved together. So I think where that comment comes from is that they're not effective marketers, and they need to be effective in their marketing. If they spend their marketing dollars effectively, their messaging's correct, their demographics correct, then they're willing to commit to a period of time to doing it. And I think you mentioned that at the beginning of the program as well, too. I like to see people, when they come on to advertise on the radio, it's a minimum of a 13-week commitment. If you're not willing to do 13 weeks, then you're probably going to, you better be buying one car and giving one car away in order to be effective in your advertising, because that's a serious call to action. You have to have there's two different types of marketing. You can either do a call to action or you can do a branding campaign.
Right.
What most people do is they usually do some sort of a branding campaign, and branding campaigns don't necessarily have results immediately.
They're not immediate results.
They're not immediate results.
Right.
And if you want to do a call to action, you better have a good call to action. And it's not come in and we'll give you a bar of soap. Okay. It has to be something that somebody's willing to travel to go get in order to make that call of action work for you as well, too.
Exactly. You know, another thing that in our business, John, we do electronic service in industrial plants and so on equipment. One of the things that we found very inexpensive and very effective, which almost sounds too trite to even mention, but we would do a lot of business off this, is just when you put your sticker on something. You know, a guy's got a machine. We just had a service call in Omaha, Nebraska, from where we had a guy out there years ago, put our sticker. There's a whole new cast of characters in that plant out there. But when the equipment broke, they call us because the sticker, and you see, and a lot of people just don't think about the simple things like that. Information is marketing. Marketing is information. At the very least, be sure people know who you are and where you are and how to get a hold of you. I mean, that's...
And how does radio market itself? Stickers. Bumper stickers have been around ever since radio's been around.
I just picked one up actually on the way in here to put on my car. Abyssal Evanastic. You are listening to Driven to Business. We have one more segment to go, so hang around. I'm Eddie Mayfield. See you in a minute. Welcome back to the final edition of today's Driven to Business. We're talking with John Sturzacker. An interesting conversation, varying everywhere from doing mission work in Mali to sales to the broadcast industry. I hope you're enjoying the program. John, I often say, I kid around, there is an element of truth. In fact, there's quite a bit of truth in it. I will tell people that I have the attention span of a gnat, and I blame it on remote controls. We have remote control TV, and I don't watch one program. I watch four or five programs at once, and I find that bleeds over in everything in my life, including reading books. I end up reading several books at the same time, which I'm not advising anyone to do that. This is a confession. I guess it's not advice. I was talking to you during the break, having running ads here on Salem before. One of the things people can do to marry things, I would go make sure that we were on Google, and then at the end of the radio ad, instead of giving a bunch of stuff they're not going to be able to remember, like a bunch of addresses or a long contact or complicated contact, just say, go Google, da-da-da, three words or something, and make sure you're there. And that makes the ad, and we actually had quite a bit of success out of the ad. As a pro in the business, tell me your take on that.
No, I agree with you 100%. I think anything you can do to maximize your ad, you should do. In fact, that's a very easy thing with what you're talking about doing there on the Google search is the first thing that you should do. And the last thing that you want to do is give them too much information at the end of the ad to try to remember, because they won't remember it. If you try to give them the address, the telephone number, and your web address, they won't remember any of the three.
No, so, and
if you want to do that, you should just give them one. You should give them one place to go find out more information about you. And here's the other thing too, Eddie, is that typically in radio is a frequency and reach medium. And what I mean by that is we might reach X amount of people over the course of a given week, but they're not all listening when your radio ad runs.
That's
necessarily.
Right. That's right.
So what I mean by that is then you have to run frequency. You have to run a lot of spots, okay, in order for that audience to be able to hear you. The second thing is that it takes somebody usually about three times until they've heard that ad to they're willing to act on the ad.
Right.
Okay. So you have to be sure that it's easy for them to remember. And a lot of people try to slam 60 seconds a copy into 30 seconds, or they try to slam a minute and a half worth of copy into 60 seconds, whatever it might be. The best thing you can do is just be simple. Keep it short and sweet. Send them to your website. Send them wherever you need to be to get more information. You don't need to cover the cost of tickets and where you're located and what your web address is and what your purpose in life is and what your vision is, all those other kind of things. Let them find that stuff out on the website. Just get them to your website and let your website do the selling for you.
I would also say that your website needs to follow the same rules.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Don't overwhelm people when they show up at the web. A good example of this is... I often say that, at least at this point in history, the internet is Google. Google is the internet. You can you can like or not like Google, but you can't ignore them if you're going to mess around with the internet. Well, go to Google's website and see what it looks like. And that gives you an idea. They're the hallmark of simple. You know, you go there, it says Google, and there's a search bar, and that's what they do. So you don't have to worry about anything. They've got a few other things, but you got to go to the bottom of the page and look at light print to see the other things they've got, because they know most people coming there, and they want you to use that search engine, so they want you to know what they're doing, like, bam, right in your face, and get it done. And I think that's a great lesson for any of us in business to understand about our business is, even if you're doing a sales talk to someone, and what you had mentioned on radio ads, I see salespeople do this in sales visits. They cover it. By the time they leave, they've totally confused the guy. What did that guy do? Because they don't even know. You've talked about it so much.
Yeah, you just have to be, again, I guess you can use, what is it, keep it simple, stupid, the KISS method.
Right.
That's the best way to do it. And you can just overwhelm people, especially if they're new to a particular advertising medium. In my particular case, it's radio. If you're new to radio, you don't know what the word day part means, and you don't know what the right. average quarter hour means, and what a rank means, and all these other kind of terms that are industry standard that I'm used to speaking with. But most of these other people, they have no idea what that means. Their biggest concern is these three letters, ROI, return on investment.
Exactly.
What's my return on the investment? So show them something that's going to give them a return on their investment, and don't show them 25 things that are going to get the return on it. Show them what the best three is and let them make a choice from it.
Exactly. To pull away from business just a moment and talk about you personally, John, what is the future going to look like for John Sturziker here?
Well, you know, I've been in this business for 31 years, and I've done everything from, I've been a DJ on the air, I've been a sports announcer, I've been the sales manager, I've been a general manager, I've been a sales manager. You know, I've done worked in production, I've done music, I've done traffic and continuity, all those different things. I've really held every position in a radio station that you can possibly do. So what I like to do right now is I love to work with young people. I love to get young people excited about this industry.
Right.
And so it means a lot to me. I have a little bit of freedom here at the radio station to kind of put together different things, promotions and programming and those kind of things. And whenever I put together a promotion, I like to try to find someone who's fairly new at the radio station and say, hey, come alongside me and let's do this together, and work with them to kind of to take the knowledge and the experience that I've gained and to pass it on to somebody else so that they then can gain a love and a passion for this industry that I have a love and a passion for. And if we as the veterans in this industry or whatever industry you're in are not passing down the knowledge that you're gaining, your industry is going to die at some point. And to me, that's the most exciting thing, is to see a young person grow and to get that passion about it and to teach them something that they didn't know before.
You know, it's so interesting to hear you say that, because people that I talk to in business, no matter what level of success they've had, whether it be Brian Batson, who's been on our program, the president of Atlanta Gas, to a number of other small people, when you ask them what do they enjoy and what do they want to do, and they've had success, what almost all of them want to do is to help other people be successful. And that's the reward that does come out of this. And I think anyone out there in business, if you want to greatly improve your happiness in the business, one thing to do is to learn to help other people. You know, that's, John, that's a great prescription for depression or anything else, is instead of thinking about yourself all the time, think about somebody else. And I think that the Lord just wired us that way somehow. You know, we're blessed to give than to receive. And you absolutely do, by helping other people, you absolutely do pick your own spirits up in the process of it. With younger people listening, you haven't mentioned that. Is there anything in your career, and I'm not, and don't make something up if not, but is there anything in your career you would do differently given the chance?
Yeah, I think one of the things is I have a lot of attention to detail. And so I think I might be willing a little bit more, and I still have this issue today, and I don't mind telling you, I'm 52 years old. I tend to hang on to things a little bit more than I should.
You're a kid.
And and so I think what I'm trying to do now, and I do a lot better of it now, is to let things go. If it doesn't help me reach my goal, let somebody else do it. I don't need to get bogged down in the details. That'd be the first thing. And then the other thing is that I tend to take on too much. In other words, you have all of these opportunities out there. There's, let's say, 10 of them. Use that as an example in radio. I can't do all 10 of them with excellence.
Right.
I may be able to do 3 or 4 of them with excellence, and I should focus on those 3 or 4 as opposed to the 10. And a lot of times, especially early in my career, I would try to do much more than I really could do effectively. And so now I would suggest a lot of other people take a couple of those things that you can do and do them with excellence. You're going to get noticed just as much in doing two or three well as you will, and you'll probably get noticed more than you will in doing 10 at an average level.
Exactly. And you know, that actually ties in with what you said earlier, even about a radio ad. It's the same thing. You can, or and I would tie it to any kind of marketing campaign. You need to keep the things simple and focused on a few things, because you cannot, like, you, and we all have this, you know, you've heard this term, a show up and throw up sales presentation, where you basically show up at somebody's desk and just regurgitate everything you ever heard of about your, or you could possibly think of, and you leave there with a guy covered in regurgitation. I mean, he does.
Right. Well, and you know what's interesting too, Eddie, is that if you go into an appointment or a sales call or whatever it happens to be, and you're unprepared because you had too much to do, that person's going to know it.
Yep.
They're going to know that you thought about this on the car on the way up there,
right,
and you didn't put the material together.
Right.
So the best thing is, and you'll gain a lot of credibility by being prepared when you go in there, and respect the other person's time as well, too. If they say you got 30 minutes, you know, be walking out the door in 30 minutes.
Exactly. John, you've been a great guest. Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, I've enjoyed being here, and I appreciate your program on Biz 1190 and all that you do to help young entrepreneurs be successful.
Well, you guys are great here. I always enjoy being here. You are listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. That's it for this week. Check us out on eddiemayfield.com. By the way, we'll have a link to John's organization on there. See you next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.